New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again to your ones, Dr. Robert with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit for April 19th, 2024. You know, Z, back in my day when it was 419, we always asked everybody if you got a minute. It's 419, do you got a minute? Now it's 419 and we got to ask people, you got a day? What are you doing tomorrow?
Yes.
For those not up on the joke, folks, tomorrow is 420 on the calendar. And if you've ever had anything to do with marijuana, you probably know that number. And now, in the last handful of years, you got anything to do with hemp. The hemp industry has just kind of taken over the pot smokers' holiday. I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah. Since hemp is a universal product, they make ropes, they make clothing, they make making utensils out of hemp, you know, disposable utensils out of hemp. And because it's recyclable, it's easily recycled.
And grows quick.
And it grows quick. So it's going to be interesting to see how those products start coming out, you know?
Oh, absolutely. They're everywhere already, actually. So, however, that's not what we're here to talk about, folks. We want to open up, actually, by sending some hearts and prayers and love and a deep sense of possibility, I guess, for the people of Ruang, Indonesia. I think I might have said that properly. If you're not familiar,
that close?
Good. Z, you turned me onto this story. Why don't you tell people what's going on?
Yeah, well, there's a mountain there, Mount Ragun, and it erupted the other day, sending plumes and smoke 70,000 feet into the air. There was a small town there, if you will, I think maybe close to 1,000 people that evacuated. But the interesting part about it is that this is supposed to be, all the geologists are saying, that this is just the beginning of the pattern of eruptions, that two things could happen. That whole mountain, they're saying, could fall into the ocean and cause major tsunamis over in Indonesia. So that this just happened a couple days ago, I think on the 17th. So they're bracing and they're, you know, obviously evacuating people and trying to monitor it. But, you know, once that happens, if it happens, you know, and they seem to be, you know, pretty optimistic about it happening. And I guess optimistic might not be the best word, but it could be pretty interesting for that region, if all that, because that water going to keep going until it stops somewhere. It's not going to just stop on its own.
Exactly.
So let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope the geologists are wrong and the whole mountain doesn't collapse.
Let's hope the geologists are wrong. Exactly. Looking at Google Earth there is a lot of ocean between Ruang and the west coast of the United States, Mexico, Central and South America. I don't know which way exactly a tsunami wave would travel from there and what's in the way, but there doesn't seem to be much in the way. If that mountain does collapse on itself, the Marshall Islands and some other things, it would probably be affected as well. Could be a global catastrophe for something like this happening.
Yeah, well, and if you look the other way, like Bali, I think the whole Jakarta island, but
right, Singapore,
Bali is about 1,000 miles away.
Yep. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it, folks. Sending thoughts and prayers to the folks in Ruang, Indonesia. Yes. And that's not even the big news of the day. Woke up this morning to find out that Israel has attacked Iran. You know, Z, we've been talking about this off and on for, 6 months now that this one's been going on. I guess there's nothing left to bomb in Gaza. So now our allies, I'm going to use that word really loosely at this point, but it seems like Iran is trying to force a war with Iran. And for those that maybe don't know, last weekend, after we were on the air, or we would have talked about this, after we were on the air, we learned that Iran did send an attack towards Israel. Interestingly enough, I saw one commentary that said they threw all their kitchen junk at Israel. They sent all their oldest rockets. They sent drones that they don't use anymore. They sent everything that was just laying around kind of in their kitchen junk drawer at Israel, and it cost Israel billions of dollars, I guess, huge amounts of money to shoot down all this junk that some are saying might not even have been able to cause any real damage. Okay, so we've got a little bit of some antagonism going on from Iran. Iran says, that's it, we're done. We don't need anything more. But Israel can't let it be, so they have to retaliate.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the whole thing started after Israel bombed the embassy, the Iran embassy in Syria earlier.
That's true. Yes.
So this wasn't just it's pretty much the same as Israel taking an attack on Hamas after they did the initial attack, right? So now it's just a mess. I don't have words, right? Because now Iran has to be on alert for this next potential strike, right? Or Israel have to be on alert now for the next potential strike coming that way. And so all of the products, primarily oil, that comes out of that region is going to be threatened, right? And so now, if we're not diligent on our diplomatic pursuits, gas prices will go up, which will eventually lead over to distribution of products going up, which will lead to prices going up, which will lead to God knows what, we're battling with inflation right now. So we really have to begin this to realize that war is not the best answer to some of these problems that we're having. And that's what it appears, we say we're intelligent creatures and we're smart, but we're not smart enough to sit down and try to figure things out.
Exactly. I want to argue that war was never the best solution for our problems, because it always seems to lead. And Israel at the moment just seems to be trigger happy. That I haven't seen Iran being an aggressor. Now, maybe maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe I'm not fully versed on the topic. But I can't, if anything, I see it's kind of like the schoolyard, and Iran is just kind of teasing the bully to see how far the bully is going to go. And Israel definitely is looking more and more like a bully in the Middle East. And it just... America says Joe Biden has been caught on a hot mic at the State of the Union saying he's going to have a come to Jesus talk with Netanyahu and all these things. And supposedly Israel has to get our permission before they do anything, which is just a load of hooey to me. And, I guess we knew about the strike before it happened, but we didn't authorize it. And we actually said that you shouldn't do it. And they did it anyway. And it's long ago I heard this theory that, America. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, when we just think about, just the other day, the House Republicans released three bills, the framing of three bills on, I think it was Wednesday, that would provide aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, right? And part of that is causing Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, they're trying to get him out. but they're saying together, I think all three of those bills are adding up to somewhere like $95 to $100 billion in aid. And they and they expected to vote on it this weekend, right? That's going to be interesting.
How much aid do we need to give to the aggressor? I would think if Israel's got enough money, they got enough to be launching attacks on a foreign country. They got enough to be invading Gaza. And I think they probably got enough. They don't need our aid. Our aid, that sounds to me like an arms deal. That sounds like... And that's part of my point. As Americans, as America, as the country, we set ourselves up as the world's military. We are the world's police force. We are the world's military. We can argue all of it, China, Russia. We set ourselves up as the military suppliers for the planet. If we just stop selling people guns, hell, this sounds like a conversation we should be having for our inner cities. If we just stop selling guns, big ones, small ones, huge ones, nuclear ones, armed ones, if we just stop selling weapons, I gotta believe we'd have a chance at some peace on this planet or more of it.
It is sometimes shocking to me that someone pointed out the other day about the American Eagle symbol with olive branches in one hand and arrows in the other claw, and they didn't give any commentary on it. They just said, look at that and make of it what you will. And which so one comes first, right? Did the olive branch come first or did the arrows come first? I don't know. And that sets the stage for what goes forward.
Sounds like we need a rebranding committee. we need a new logo, damn it. Let's get something that's more appealing to everybody. Damn logo creates separation. Let's get a better logo. Right, because that's if anybody wants to defend that, that's just an old antiquated idea of what America needs to be. And okay, we need, that was necessary at one point, but we've outgrown that. And I have to believe humanity as a whole has evolved beyond, we evolved beyond the hunter gatherers of our caveman ancestors, of our, right, whatever genealogy yeah. says about that. We can transcend the need to be the aggressor or to be the guiding, the guiding military force. Israel doesn't need our permission. They want our money. They want our guns. But they definitely don't need or will listen to our permission. I think Israel's proven that. They don't give a hoot what Joe Biden has to say or anybody else for that matter. And I don't think it would be any different under any other president. I don't think there's anybody that's, except maybe Putin. If Putin said well, stop, and I got a feeling other, he would.
Here's the other thing. This issue, you know, if we look back over the last few years, we know there were two things that began to shape politics for the last 5-6 years and going forward. That was George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Miss Taylor, death, and COVID, right? So people woke up with a whole different approach to speaking, as they say, power, truth to power, and stuff like that. Right now, this issue of this war in the Middle East is beginning to shape up and look like Vietnam in terms of the protest against it, right? They shut down the Golden Gate Bridge the other day in San Francisco. They had a major event yesterday, I think it was on Columbia University's campus, and they arrested like 100 people, right?
Yep.
Right. And the young people are saying, we're not going to do stand for this. We're not going to be silent about this.
Right.
And so if we, for a moment, you know, tried to be as open and objective as, if we look at the circumstances of what happened in Vietnam and what's happening in the Middle East, although we're not involved and we were directly involved in Vietnam, obviously.
Right.
The same kind of sentiments are being raised by young people who will live with the mess that we create between this. That's the real deal. Right. Whatever tensions we allow our support to escalate and become more overt and covert, because we know covert options are going as well, it's going to create an unstable environment for these young people. And that's going to be interesting.
So what I'm hearing is it's time for another national rising. I call it a pro-Palestinian encampment.
That's what a lot of young people are asking for.
Interesting.
I mean, it is.
So we have this potentiality for another Occupy Wall Street, a resurgence of an Occupy movement. Only this time. Yeah, and I'm really bummed. I didn't know about this quote encampment until this morning when we started research. I'm wondering if they were more pro-Palestinian or more just pro-peace, and got labeled pro-Palestinian to help with the narrative, to help with the media narrative. And I feel like I want to go dig into this story a little more to find out who got this thing going. Because you got a bunch of tents, you got people. All right, if they're calling it an encampment, that's more than just a little protest, right? So that's more than just a bunch of people getting together for a few hours to voice their concerns. This is people living there to occupy the space to make their point. Are they just pro-Palestinian, or are they really pro-peace? Are they pro-people?
Yeah.
Because that's what this is coming down to. We're wasting millions and billions and perhaps trillions of dollars in military hardware, and no politicians getting rich off of this. Defense contractors are probably getting rich. Arms manufacturers are getting rich, but people are suffering day in and day out and day in and day out. And whether Iran hits their targets, whether Israel hits the nuclear power station, no matter what anybody hits, it's the people that are living under the fear of bombing. It's the people that are being injured, and I want it to stop.
Right. Well, you know, and of course, as with all these wars, it's just a vicious thing, right? Because at some point, God willing, this thing will end. Right. And then at that point, you have Gaza that needs to be completely rebuilt from literally from the ground up.
Yeah.
Somebody got to go in there and do that. That's going to cost money. How are they going to select contractors and infrastructure people and disposal people? Where are they going to put all of the rubble and whatever else that's been thrown all over the country? Is there anything toxic or anything that's hazardous that needs to be considered, right? So when you hear people talk about this industrial military complex, that's a part of it, right? It is a complete machine when you look at it from how it expands out from the initial point of war. And there's better ways to, I mean, I said it earlier, we got to figure out better ways to resolve issues and look at how we create opportunities without killing a whole bunch of people first and destroying a whole bunch of land first and then say, oh, time to rebuild. It's just we gotta find a better way.
Yeah. The way you say it, it almost sounds like, you know, it's the global economic redevelopment program. Oh, we need to make some money. Where can we bomb the shit out of some people so that we have our defense industry, our arms industry, and our construction industry can continue to flourish, and we can sell a shitload of concrete and rebar and everything else. And I would have to think there's plenty of projects we could be rebuilding without destroying something first on this planet. If this is a planetary economic idea,
exactly.
Let's go build rather than destroy.
Exactly. Well, and think about what it will cost to rebuild Ukraine and Gaza after the wars there complete. I mean, it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time. I mean, they're not going to build this in a couple of years.
What comes after trillions? Right. Gazillions?
Yeah, quintillions, I think, is something. Quintillions or something crazy. Something I can't even pronounce. I know that. You know, as a family of human beings, and believe me, I have a really good understanding after doing the genealogy work I've been doing for the last 30 years and seeing how stuff is just utterly connected. Right. At some point, we have to sit down and contemplate that and come to the realization that the old Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation is pretty much true for everybody on this planet except for a few people that are isolated.
Right.
And we have to go to that scripture that says, you know, I am my brother and sister's keeper.
Right. Deeply we are one.
And at least we turn into Cain and Abel, right?
Yeah. And folks, you know, this is perhaps the calling of our of our movement. Perhaps this is the calling of the New Thought movement to be a force, an energetic, a vibration, a consciousness, a force of consciousness that says we've got to stop doing this. Now, I don't have the power to reach into the defense contractors and change their mind. I don't have the power, but I might have the power to change a legislator's mind. I might have the power to change the mind of an up-and-coming legislator that's coming into and will be setting policy in the years and the decades to come. And I would love to see all of New Thought not just teach about peace, not just talk about planetary peace or a world that works for everyone, but let's do some things about it. Let's get up and march. Yeah. Let's get up and have an encampment for peace. Let's get up and look at what can we do to influence the conversation beyond our churches, beyond the people that we know, that we sit with on Sundays, or the people that we meditate with. How can we move this conversation? How can we be advocates for a global peace movement outside of what we do on Sundays or Wednesday nights? I know it's a big call. I know it's a big vision. But who do we know? When I look around, I don't see too many other organizations or movements really stand. I see them bickering about whether Israel is right or Palestine is right. Let's get rid of the lines and the divisions and it's like the old Hatfield and McCoys over there. Mm-hmm. Let's stop shooting at each other and start throwing some flowers. When they throw arrows, we throw hearts. I'll give credit to Ram Dass on that one, because that's where I got it from. So let's redraw that eagle, and instead of a bunch of arrows in one, let's have some hearts there. Olive branches and hearts. Peace and love. That's my point. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, and here's the interesting thing. You know, I often see people who say, well, I don't want to get into any of this. And I just want to look at, you know, brighter things, if you will. But I sit here and I look at, you know, what awareness, I mean, just switching the subject slightly in terms of that, you know, the other day in this country, there was a 911 emergency for like four states where the 911 emergency system went down.
Yep.
Now they're still trying to determine whether it was a cyber attack, right? But we understand that given the state of the technology in our country or in the world, that these cyber attacks are often, you know, part of the industrial complex, if you will. They're trying to take down systems. They're trying to cripple people. You know, then you scroll forward and you look at, you know, I'm sure everybody has seen, they got 12 jurors now for former President Trump to sit on that jury now. And I don't know if they got all six of the alternates yet, but they're saying the trial could start as early as, you know, mid next week and could last 6 to 8 weeks. The former president has already been cited for breaking the gag order already. Trial ain't even started. And you had a great comment from Stormy Daniels that she you know, is reported to have said, share that with the group.
Absolutely. So the way I'm seeing it, it's reported that an anonymous poster made a comment that said Stormy Daniels would sell anything for money. And her response was, not true. I don't sell Bibles. Which is a huge and direct dig right at Donald Trump and his latest money-making scheme. I mean, from golden sneakers to constitutionally approved Bibles, I think we could see the man's willing to hawk. And he'll sell anything for money, and he needs it right now because up till now, we have had a candidate that's facing dozens and dozens of legal challenges running for president, pretty much uncontested in the Republican Party. Not even pretty much, uncontested in the Republican Party. What's going to happen to our political system in 6 to 8 weeks when he's found guilty? And suddenly the Republican Party's presidential candidate is a convicted felon? Well, that ain't going to stand up. That disqualifies you real quick. I'm pretty sure being a convicted felon disqualifies you from being president. So I have to go look that up for sure. But I'm pretty, you know, there's some stipulations. You can't, got to be over 35, all that stuff. What happens to the whole our whole political system? Marjorie Taylor Greene runs for president. Everybody else is like a hobbled dog at this point because they've all been kowtowing and kissing his ass.
Well, and you know, interesting that you know, you're talking about the Bible thing. I mean, people of faith, and specifically Christians, should be appalled that he's using the book of faith, the book of the system, like a snake oil salesman. It's horrible to think about it. And the answer to that question, the U.S. Constitution does not permit a felon from running for president. Now, a felon can't vote, so he wouldn't be able to vote for himself, but there would be nothing to prevent him from running. It would be up to the people to decide whether he gets in or not. And that's an interesting proposition. Interesting proposition.
Wow. All right. I will stand corrected, or I'll at least sit here and be corrected that I get myself in a lot of trouble when we start talking about some of these things, because my mind goes to, well, then shit, it's time to rewrite the Constitution, isn't it?
Yeah. Now the interesting part would be if he gets convicted and has a term of incarceration.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting piece, because I don't think they would vacate that if he got convicted and got sentenced some incarceration time.
I saw this is starting to sound like a mafia novel. This is, or a movie. This is like Godfather 6, right? Isn't this the plot of Godfather 6? Godfather goes to jail but still running the government from prison. Sorry, my phone allotment just ran out. I gotta call you back tomorrow.
But Mr. President, they're getting ready to bomb us. I'm sorry, my time is up.
My time is up, man. Commissary don't come till Tuesday.
I mean, we're making light of this, right? But it is scary to think about we as a people of intelligent individuals have allowed ourselves to get dragged down into the muck and the mire on issues that should be absolutely clear about what it takes to create I'll use a great word, integrated society that works together for the common good of all, as opposed to the destruction and damnation of people, ideas, and things that do not fit with your point of view of how life, government, education, and all these other things should run. It's mind-blowing.
We don't have enough time to answer this question, but here's where we're at. Is it possible? No. How is it possible? What does it look like to be a spiritually informed political activist? Because, right, we're taught very clearly as a spiritual community, we don't tell you who to vote for. We don't tell you how to vote on issues. All of that would be against the agreements we sign with the federal government to be a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you who to vote for, or how to vote on any specific issue. But we are going to say vote. And there's a piece that feels like this election, this year, is actually bigger than all of that. Is actually bigger, because I got a feeling the way Trump wants to dismantle America, the system, and you and I have argued for the dismantling of various systems across our country, but the way he wants to dismantle America, I can't in my lifetime ever remember anyone ever accusing a president of wanting to be a dictator in this country, but that is where we are. And he has said he'd be a dictator for the first day. Yeah. And that leads to date, and he'll forget all about that. Oh, today's all, it's all one day. I just need one more day. It'll be a continuing, just one more day of being a dictator. And then I promise I'll give you your rights back. Just one more day. Like, I can see all of this coming, and it might be more important than my relationship with the divine. It might be more important than my commitment to a nonprofit organization. I imagine for some, and I have to believe I'm not the only spiritual leader, minister, reverend, whatever title you want to give us. I've got to believe I'm not the only one having that conversation. A dear friend of ours put out a post yesterday or the day before, on his personal private Facebook page supporting Joe Biden, and got ripped to shreds by all kinds of people with all kinds of lies that are out there about Joe Biden. And I thought to myself, it's tough to make a public opinion knowing that you could be ripped to shreds, and for many of us, we risk the communities that we serve. But is remaining silent a bigger risk to those communities? Because he'll come for the 501c3s. He'll come for the churches. He'll come for anybody that doesn't go his way, and give him the dictatorship for a day, and he'll take it for a year. And we're all going to be sitting around going, well, shit, what happened? Why are the churches all gone? Because he took away the 501c3. Why are all of our public works in shambles? Because that man will do that guy will sell anything for money, including Bibles.
I mean, it's the commentary is quite bleak. Let me just say it that way. When we think about where we have found ourselves and where we will be standing right dab in the midst of in about 6 months, I would ask each and every one of us to search real hard within our heart, mind, and our, as they say, our very soul, given the challenges we face. How do we begin let's put it this way. One of the least desirables will be in office, right? There's tons of evidence that the general population feel that neither one of the candidates have our best interests, can serve our best interests, right?
Right.
Take the ageism out of it.
Yes.
But the question, I think that the paramount question is, how do we want to build the future? What are the things, you know, I mean, we could go on. You think about in Arizona, they brought a slave era law back into popular demand, for lack of a better way of saying it, right? 1864 abortion law, they brought it back in. Now, that should speak for itself on what's being done or what's being set up to be done. So the question is, are we going to sit by idly and allow these kinds of things to slowly reappear? And then we really find ourselves in a place that we have no idea of what it is.
I never read The Handmaid's Tale, but I'm thinking I better before it's outlawed and you can't read it.
Well, true.
And you know, folks, and we're the positivity guys. We're the guys that try to find the positive and the good, and sometimes a little bit of a morbid humor, but we try to find the good on these topics. And, you know, and what you just shared, Z, really does remind me that, wait a minute, my relationship with the divine is more important because that is enduring. And that can be, I have to believe, I get my ability, my opportunity to share this philosophy is greater than the impact I would make railing against the system, against the machine. Unfortunately, yep. Because I didn't invest the last 20 years of my life learning everything I can about politics and how to influence public policy, I put my mind and my heart towards a different effort. And so I'm kind of back to my question: how do I still share this mighty message of spirituality and metaphysics and new thought, but make it very clear that what's going on in our political system is not a demonstration of the divine vision, either side? The whole system is not leading us to a world that works for all. The whole American political system seems to be designed to work for the few and to work against, even when it may appear otherwise, to be working against the betterment of all society.
Yeah.
Well, shit, you got another hour and a half. Maybe we come to some folks. We've done run out of time here on Ministers Talking Shit this morning, but it's been a good conversation, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. Please feel free to share this with your family, your friends. Click that share link and let it be known what we're doing here. And, you know, we're also available as a podcast. You can catch us audio podcast on all major podcast platforms. Just do a search for Ministers Talking Shit and you should find our podcast as well. Final thoughts, Z, anything left before we get out of here?
Yeah. My final thought, man, is that we have to continue to ask the difficult questions and shine light on the places, the people, the things that are threatening not just our way of life, but this whole planet. And we can no longer, as ministers and people who are looking for spiritual good, we can no longer not look at the issues, because we'll go out solving something that isn't even a problem. I need to know what I'm solving before I come up with a solution. And the only way to do that is to look at what's going on that's not supporting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as we say here. And we need to fix that. And I'm sticking to it.
Amen. Beautiful. All right, folks, we're out of here for now. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned to New Thought Media Network throughout the day. We got a full day of broadcasting. I'll be back at 5 with the good news. Until next time, we want to wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.